Would you turn again, please, to Hebrews, the third chapter. Hebrews chapter 3. Before we get into the Word and get focused in that, let me just say on behalf of Phyllis and myself how thankful we are to be with you in these meetings again. And thank you for the respect for the Word. This topic is not necessarily what everybody would like to hear, but there's been enough maturity and respect for the Word that has not been a problem. Anybody in here say, I love the Word? Do you love the Word? That means all the Word. Right? And we don't just need to pick out a couple of verses or topics and focus only on them. We need the whole counsel of God. And the truth is, sometimes we need corrected. Right? And if you will receive correction, adjustments will be made, judgment will be averted, and destruction will be prevented, and you'll find and feel your place. I know in our own life, Phyllis and my own life, there have been a handful of times in these past 30 years that we could have missed the plan of God, that after the flesh, you didn't want to do something that you needed to do. And you were going to have to submit to do it. And you're going to have to receive correction and humble yourself and submit. I know I already said that word, but I'm going to say it again. And submit. And, that's an unpopular word, isn't it? Submit. But it's in the Bible. And it's important. And you'll hear people sometimes say, oh, well, no, your submission is no problem for me. It's always been easy for me to submit. And I know right away they don't know a thing in the world about it. Because submission is not easy for anybody. It wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus. And if it wasn't easy for Him, it's sure not going to be easy for you. And so it requires you having to put your flesh under. It requires you actually suffering. Now that's probably even more unpopular word. Particularly in our circles. Because, word and faith circles. Most folk don't like to hear that word suffer because they say, man, we've been redeemed from that. We've been redeemed from suffering. Well, we've been redeemed from suffering the curse of the law. But just to say we've been redeemed from any and all suffering is not true. The scripture said, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right? How many plan on living right and living godly? Well, then there's no question about it. You're going to suffer some persecution. Is it going to be fun? No. How many believe in the hundredfold? Huh? Did you know that comes with some persecution? Have you found that out? He said did receive a hundredfold now in this time with persecutions. And of all the things that we've taught, we've come under the most fire for that is about anything. I mean, there's something about prosperity that the devil just cannot stand. Makes him so mad. And there's some people, bless their hearts, they just yielded to the devil to the point where they just can't stand that rich preachers are breathing the same air that they are. I'm telling you, it just chafes them every moment of the day. But we're going to preach it anyway. Right? And some people will despise us and some people will persecute us, but others will hear it and see it and go, glory to God. I thought God was good like that, and I'm going to get that too. And they won't be insulted. They'll be inspired. Hallelujah. Can we take the heat from a few for the benefit of those who will be inspired and will come out of their poverty and enjoy the blessing of God? Yes, yes, and yes. Yes. So there will be some things that we experience that are uncomfortable. That's what suffer means. You're experiencing things that are unpleasant, inconvenient, and uncomfortable. And I can tell you we're already off to a great start this morning. Did you find Hebrews? The third chapter, Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear His voice, read that out loud with me, verse 8. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Well, this must be something we're to stay on top of if we're to exhort one another daily about this. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, say it again, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Are we to exhort one another daily and be on the watch that we don't harden ourselves? Hardening ourselves has to do with a refusal and a resistance and a rebellion. Look at Proverbs 29 again, please. Proverbs, actually, we can read that verse in 28 again. Proverbs 28. And 13, it says, he that covers his sins, what will happen to him? Shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsakes them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that fears alway, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief or evil. Chapter 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me read the other translations to you again. The New Century says, whoever is stubborn after being corrected many times shall suddenly be hurt beyond cure. Today's English version says, if you get more stubborn every time you are corrected, one day you'll be crushed and never recover. The Living Bible says, the man who's often reproved but refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be broken and never have another chance. This is sobering, isn't it? That you or I could get ourselves in a place where there's no cure. There's no fixing it. Now, this didn't say because you hardened yourself one time, because you resisted one time, being reproved many times. We saw this with Pharaoh. It's not just that he hardened himself one time and poof, judgment came and he was destroyed. No, over and over and over again, and he would relent when the pressure was on strong enough. He'd say, okay, all right, y'all can go. And then as soon as the frogs were gone, he said, no, I changed my mind. No, you misunderstood me. I didn't say you could go. I was talking about we would talk about it. We would not, yeah. And he kept doing that until he and his were destroyed. And how many know it happened suddenly there at the Red Sea? And he didn't harden himself anymore after that, I guess. There was no cure. There was no fixing it. We purpose not to be that way. You must be corrected, or you'll not stay in the course that God has for you, the plan that God has for you. The enemy intends, through the weakness of your flesh, through your pride, that he can tempt you. And you will yield to rebellion, and you'll yield to obstinacy, and get yourself off course, and get yourself out of the will of God and out of the plan of God. Do you care about this morning?
Yes.
Finding the plan of God is not nearly as mysterious as people make it out to be. It's not. Your Father loves you. And he is very interested in getting you and keeping you on the course he has for you and in the place and plan he has for you. All you've got to do is hear and obey. Right? Are you listening now? If you'll hear him and obey him, and just when he leads you to do something, do it, you will be at the right place at the right time. He'll see to it. I said he'll see to it. By his grace. The danger is in you jumping out when he didn't tell you to change. Did you hear me now? In you changing when he didn't tell you to change, you being offended, you getting upset, you getting mad and leaving your place and changing the plan. And then after you told everybody out, off, and you walked out and you stomped out and you did this, now you want to come up with a new plan and get God to bless this. And he's not going to change for you. What will happen is now you'll be in his permissive will. And he still loves you. You're still going to heaven when you die. But you'll not enjoy the full blessing of the Lord. And you'll forfeit things that you should have had and enjoyed. I remember Brother Hagin talking about one of the visions that he had with the master, and the Lord told him at that time he was entering into the first phase of his ministry, and he was surprised because he'd been in the ministry for years. And he thought, the first phase? Because he'd pastored, 12 years already, I think it was, and he'd done all these things, and I'm just now entering into the first phase of my ministry? And he said, the Lord told him, yes. He said, many of his ministers lived and died and never entered into the first phase of what he had called them to do. He said, that was also why many of them died young or premature. Healing belongs to us. Long life belongs to us. How many believe it?
Amen.
Prosperity belongs to us. It is the perfect will of God for every child of God. But if you're going to enjoy the perfect will of God for you, you have to do the perfect will of God. Can I say that a different way? You have to find and follow God's perfect plan and will for your life if you're going to enjoy the fullness of the blessings. If you only do partially the will of God, you're only going to enjoy partially the blessing of God. Did you hear me? You will forfeit things. If you live outside the perfect will of God for half of your life, you're going to forfeit some things. You're not going to enjoy the prosperity you could have. You're not going to enjoy the health that you could have. Did you hear me? You could forfeit some longevity that you should have. I remember in healing school some years ago, there was a couple that had been there with us for a few weeks. And he was such a dear man. so kind. Got to know them just a little bit over those weeks. And I was speaking and teaching during that time on the will of God, the plan of God. You know, the Lord says, seek me and live. And we were talking about, you know, the blessing of God is in the plan of God. Anybody with me on this or not? If you be willing and obedient, what'll happen? You'll eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll still eat the good of the land. No, you won't. No, you won't. You'll forfeit. For every disobedience that you perpetuate, it's going to cost. God still loves you, right? You're still saved. But if you persist in being obstinate and trying to do your own thing, it's going to cost you. You're going to forfeit some things. And so we talked about that. And yielding yourself and yielding your life to God. And at the end of a couple of weeks, that man came to me one afternoon after we'd spoken, crying. The anointing had been strong. He said, oh, Brother Keith. He said, that's it. He was sick. He was deathly ill. His wife was sick. They were both there in healing school together. They were a little bit older. And he said, that's it, Brother Keith. He said, she and I have been sick off and on our whole married life. We've struggled financially. And he said, I know as a young man, the Lord called me to be a missionary to China. And he told me where to go. And he said, I've never been. He said, my wife, she said, I'm not going. If you're going, you're going without me. And he said, I just couldn't stand to leave her. So he said, we love each other. We know God loves us. And we've had a decent life by some standards. But he said, I know we've forfeited so much. We've missed so much because I know I hadn't been in the perfect will of God these years. He said, we've been sick. We've been broke. We've struggled. Tell me where the full blessing of God is. Where is it? It's in the perfect will of God. And you can't come up with another plan and substitute it for that and enjoy the full blessing. Because your plan can't... Hey, God's never going to say, well, hey, I like your plan, fine. I hadn't thought about doing it that way, but that'd be great. Let's just forget my plan and we'll do... Never going to happen. Never. Got about three things going on in me at the same time here. Turn with me, please, to Romans, the second chapter. Romans chapter 2.